You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball.
Hello and welcome to Break a Bat. And what a special show it is going to be tonight, folks. We have with us esteemed Broadway actress Jackie Burns. And with a special thanks to my new friend Samara for helping put that together. We also have a full house tonight as far as the Break It Back team goes. If I do say so myself, I think this is our strongest cast. Led, of course, by none other than the producer, the Duke of New York, King of Podcasting, Mr. Alan Seals.
These titles get better every time.
Oh, trust me, I don't think we're even close to as good as they can get. But anyway, let's, without further ado, introduce your fabulous host, Albert Malafronte.
Thank you. Oh, it is really great to be here, folks. Wonderful intro there, Chris. This is your host, Al Malafronte, and we do have a very special show in store. And that is very much attested to the special guest joining us in the batter's box tonight. I've talked in the past about how there's a few roles on Broadway that are just synonymous with prime real estate, and a few shows that are really just a part of the fabric of the Great White Way, and maybe none more so than Wicked. I was lucky enough to have one good takeaway from Valentine's Day 2018, and that was, in fact, our special guest portrayal of Elphaba over at the George Gershwin Theater that night. Speaking of Wicked, by the way, for the baseball fans at home, our guest tonight pulled the Broadway equivalent of an Andy Pettit, who made the All-Star team in 2010, left the role of Yankee starting pitcher, and then came back to the role in 2012, posted the second-best ERA of his career, and ended up having his number retired with the Yankees shortly thereafter. So our cleanup hitter tonight had two separate stints in Wicked and now has a body of work on Broadway that spans more than a decade, with credits including Hair and If Then, in addition to holding the title of the longest-tenured Elphaba in the history of that Wicked franchise. Katz, would you say that's kind of like how Mantle was the longest tenured center fielder for the Yankees?
Well, you know, the first thing that came to mind was actually how Aroldis Chapman was the longest tenured closer for the Reds. But yeah, Mantle for the Yankees, that works too.
Yeah. Anyway, much like the Mick, she's a big-time power hitter and hopefully a really good sport about what's in store for tonight's show. So if you'll please turn your attention to home plate, just beyond the marquee, now batting Jackie Burns.
Yay! How exciting. It's making my dad's dreams come true. My dad pitched for Villanova. So, you know, I grew up in a very baseball heavy house. So
cool.
He's going to be freaking out with all of these comparisons. Now I've made it.
You didn't consider a career in professional baseball, even with that, you know, type of gene?
I mean, I did. I'm not going to lie to you. I did do a little pitching softball back in the day, but dancing and theater won out, you know, had my heart. But I love sports more than anything, and I am quite a tomboy.
Were you a lefty or a righty pitcher?
Righty. I wish I'd be lefty. Then I'd be super special, but just
you'd be like Chapman. Yeah.
Yeah, but just the writing.
Pitchers are typically great performers. You know, they take center stage out there all the time. I could totally see the parallel there.
Yeah, and you got to stay calm because once you get in your head, that was my problem is I would get very rattled. True. You know what I mean? Once I throw a few bad pitches, I get in my head.
Yep.
Can't be having that.
Yep. All eyes are on you. You know, yep. You got the show must go on while it's you're true. Continuing to battle those inner demons out there on the mound. So yeah, so you got to have a clear demons. Head.
Yep.
Just like in any type of performing.
It's true. It's very true.
Now, literally in every prior episode of the show, we used a segment called Fastball Derby to rap break a bat. But given how everything else in the world is like so out of whack right now,
yeah. Sounds good.
I thought we'd try something a little different with a new title for that same premise. It's called Batting Practice.
Okay.
Chris, why don't you explain the rules to Jackie?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's really, we're just starting off here. So we're going to do a little warm up, you know, get things moving, get things flowing. We've got some questions for you, Jackie. And Al, why don't you start it off?
Okay. I'm nervous.
Yeah, so we'll ask you a question. Think of it like a fastball coming at you. You say the first thing that comes to your head, okay?
Okay. Chris, wait. Is it no swearing?
You can swear.
Okay, great. I just want to know where my parameters lie.
Be relaxed out there. That's what's important.
Okay, be relaxed. Okay, I'm good. Yeah,
perfect. No, sorry, don't get in your head.
All right, don't. Yeah. Okay.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Okay, first question is, what is your all-time favorite musical?
Oh, Wicked. I got nervous. Got in my head.
What do you miss the most about your home state of Connecticut?
Well, right now I'm not missing anything because I am here. I'm sheltered and placed at my little brother's house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thing you remember most about your Broadway debut?
Being very scared. But excited. Excited and scared. Which is a Broadway lyric for all the nerds out there.
Three Desert Island albums.
Oh God. Anything with Tash Sultana, anything she's ever done. I'm interested. If you know her, then you can't pick one. I'd pick all of hers and I'd be good to go. Then just like a little Ariana Grande just to like, you know, get my pop fix and probably some Journey. Any Love journey. It.
Great. Yeah. What's your all-time favorite film?
I can't believe I'm going to say this. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. It's classic. It's a dance movie from my childhood. It's with Sarah Jessica Parker as a dancer. And it's gold. And if you haven't seen it, check it out.
Well, you know, we got some time on our hands these days. So yeah, it could be a good watch. Yeah.
I think all of you guys really enjoy it.
Sounds right up my alley, actually.
It really, yeah. I think you guys you'll thank me.
Okay, great. I'm gonna write
that. Not Shawshank. Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Okay.
We've heard Shawshank come up as the answer to that question a few times on the show.
You have. It's a great movie. That one.
Great movie. Just not it can't trump Girls Just Want
to
Have Fun.
I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, that one comes to people's minds really quickly, maybe just because it's the highest ranked movie ever.
But, ever, yes.
We really appreciate the kind of off the beat answer there. But anyway, we've got a couple more questions here and we got to keep moving. So let's go.
Favorite New York City meal?
Pizza.
From where?
There you go.
From where? Anywhere. I just love pizza. So I'll eat it anywhere, anytime, any place.
Are you sure you're not part Italian, Jackie?
I am a little Italian.
All right. So.
And we're actually right now, my brother is making pizza in the next room that him and his wife and my boyfriend are all making pizza from scratch. So I got pizza on the brain as well.
Wait, deep dish or like normal?
No, they're making, they're making their dough from scratch and they're grilling it on the pizza stone on the grill outside. Very professional.
You guys have a real setup.
They're cool. Like real cooks, and I just eat everything because I can't cook and do the
perfect.
Dishes.
Look at you. So, that's great. Riding out the quarantine with free pizza. That's great.
Yeah, it's great.
All right. Most embarrassing stage moment, on stage moment.
God, there's so many. How can you choose just one? I think a lot of people don't. The most embarrassing thing was my Broadway debut in Hair. we would run off stage and go into the audience a lot. And I was always the one who had to go out in the audience. They'd always pick me out there. I don't know why, but whatever. And there was this one moment where I had to run up the stairs and get on stage really quick. And I would run and leap to get on stage to make it. And I didn't quite make it one day and was like roadkill and fell back into the audience at the front row of people's feet. And that's where I ended the number. And these poor people were like, they didn't know what to do. And I'm like, here, yeah. It was mortifying, but whatever.
We all have moments like that.
Yeah.
And finally here, I guess, well, I'm not sure, maybe this isn't the last question, but what is something about Jackie Burns that would surprise people the most?
That I can't cook? No, I'm sure everybody knows that. that I'm really shy inside, you know? I get really nervous. And most people think I'm just like loud and fearless, but I actually am very insecure. As most actors,
would you say you're an introvert or an extrovert?
No, I'm totally an extrovert.
Okay,
but I get very nervous in industry settings. I get really nervous when there's like a big group of people that I don't know because I just assume that nobody wants to talk to me. So I just kind of like want to get out of the way.
Well, we want to talk to you, so we're glad to have you here.
Thank you so much.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, you were getting ready to do an adaptation of Walk on the Moon out in Jersey, I guess, right before all this Corona stuff hit?
Yeah. So there was this movie called Walk on the Moon with Diane Lane and Viggo Mortensen and Leah Schreiber and Anna Paquin back in the day. And it's a great movie. And they turned it into a musical. And I was playing the Diane Lane part. And 2 days before, I was actually in LA, and the night before I was getting on my plane back to come back to New York to start rehearsals, I got the call that it was canceled. And I was like, well, or postponed. So that was kind of a bummer, but it is what it is.
They moved it to next season?
Yeah, they're not. Yeah. Yes. So hopefully in the fall, it'll happen.
The movie had a pretty trippy soundtrack. Are you like a big jam band, Grateful Dead girl? You know, the Hendrix stuff was in there, or did they do like a whole new score for this one? Was it more your musical taste?
Yeah, I do like, of course, I love any kind of music, but I'm not really a Deadhead or anything like that. So, but it's a whole new score. And it's really pretty epic. So it's fun. But it has like that cool, like Woodstocky vibe, folky Joni Mitchell. But it is a completely new score written for the musical.
Who are your bands usually?
My bands? You know what? I'm like such a weirdo. For somebody who's in musical theater, I don't listen to musical theater. I don't really like, jam out to bands a lot. I just like kind of turn on the radio in my car and listen to whatever's on the radio. And then the only other time I really listen to music is when I run, and I listen to like crappy, like, you know, don't stop that I have no idea what's going on, but makes me, you know, feel like a little bitch if I stop. So the pep in my step. You know,
you just need something that's like club music that there's like, you're stopping, you little bitch.
Keep going. You're like, that's right. Oh my God. Everybody can see me. Everybody's judging me. You know, but I like all music. I really I really do. I have to say, this is so geeky. This is something people would know about me. I listen to classical music in the morning. It's like my, I wake up. I was married to a ballerina, a guy, ballet dancer. And so he always listened to ballet music in the morning and do his like little warm-up stuff. And we called it tete-a-tete. So now I'm a tete-a-tete head where I wake up in the morning and I always listen to classical music.
What about the Beach Boys? Are you a fan of the Beach Boys by any chance?
I mean, my dad is. So.
Well, Jackie, you know, we had Al Jardine of the Beach Boys in studio with us. So he's
kind of a big deal. No, that is amazing. Yes. But I mean, like, they're not my go-to.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We'll let it slide then. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I did want to ask you, and, you know, I alluded to it in the intro. You played the Gershwin as long as anyone when you did Wicked. And as I mentioned, you've been on Broadway for over a decade. You know the ins and outs of this business. We're still in the heart of the shutdown right now. Cuomo threw out the date of June 7th. Very well could just be an arbitrary date. You think it's realistic as far as when Broadway comes back?
I don't. I mean, I want to. I would love it to be, but I don't think it's realistic. No, I think that if we're lucky, that it looks like September.
Maybe. That was my guess.
Yeah,
I think it's September at the earliest.
Yeah,
because when you have that many shows that rely on tourism, you need to let tourism come back. Tourisms need places to eat. Restaurants need to come back first, and then when you're a production company like Disney Theatrical that have four shows on Broadway, you don't want to open all four at once because you're competing with yourself.
Yes.
So I think it's going to be, and then when we reopen, we don't know if it's going to be 6 feet apart in the house. So are people going to, is it going to be financially feasible to play to a half full house? Because everyone's got to be 6 feet apart, you know? So that's
And I also think that, I think the entertainment, sadly, I think the entertainment industry is going to be one of the last things that kind of gets reintegrated into life. It's going to be about the necessities and, you know, sadly entertainment isn't. So it sucks. It makes me really depressed and sad, but I just don't think it's going to happen until the earliest September. So I don't know.
What's the best path for a comeback in your mind?
For Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if they could just fucking get that vaccination, then we'll be good to go. But that's going to take like a year and a half. I'm actually really not sure. Yesterday is when it really hit me that I was like, wow, this is, because I had a show that I was supposed to be doing at the end of July, a different show, July, first week of August, and it just got canceled. And I was like, wow, that's already getting canceled. That's so far away. And then it really hit me. I was like, oh God, nothing's going to happen for a really long time. I think that TV and film will hit first because you can maybe, you know, sequester smaller sets and everything. But with theater, it's just, I think that they're going to probably start opening like the big juggernauts, like a Wicked, a Lion King, and test the waters with half capacity and see how that works before the smaller shows get to get picked up, and hopefully they get to reopen those shows, you know, because they've lost so much money. I don't know if they'll even be able to reopen, and that's so sad and depressing.
Well, Lion King relies so much on tourism that I think it's going to be, like, in my opinion, I think it's going to be like a Frozen and Hamilton and Dear Evan Hansen and like one other, like, the, you know, your staples that people want to go see,
right?
And all the new stuff. Like,
that's what I worry about.
Company, Carolina Change, like all of those, I don't think they're going to reopen for a lot longer.
Yeah, I agree with you, which is really sad.
What happens when a smaller project like that, does everything just get on hold and they assume they're coming back? Or, you know, at what point are they starting to say, hey guys, we probably need to look for some other way to get by here because we're not going to be going for a while?
Well, I mean, I don't honestly, like, none of us know because this is unprecedented. Nothing like this has ever happened before. Broadway has never been closed like this before. I mean, Broadway was closed for was it 2 days when 9/11 happened?
It was 2 days.
It was dark. And then, so, I mean, like, and then with the hurricane, when the first time I was on Broadway, which hurricane was it that they closed Broadway, I think, for 2 days because the subways were down and stuff. Hurricane Sandy.
Yeah.
But other than that, Broadway's never been closed for, let alone a week, like a month, you know? So this is, crazy. And none of us are getting paid. Like, none of those shows are paying anybody. They're just running into the guys that, like, hopefully in September, just like my show that got postponed, they're like, no guarantee, but we're aiming for September. But you never know. It's just really sad for those shows that have been in rehearsals already. We didn't even start rehearsals. Those shows that were like ready to be in tech.
Yeah.
To not know if you're going to ever even, you know, get to do the work you put all the work behind. That's like so depressing.
Which do you think is worse? Like the shows that didn't even get is like they were in tech that didn't even get there. Or like I saw on Wednesday the 11th, I saw Six's final preview.
You did? So was it good? I wanted to see that.
It was amazing. But then like these girls who were all going to make their Broadway debuts find out the afternoon at 5 o'clock before their 8 o'clock show that they don't have their opening night.
I was like, that is devastating. I think that's pretty as much as devastating as you can get. I can't even imagine, especially for all those girls who are making their Broadway debuts. It's like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. And now like the press agents, the marketing agents on the creative side, everyone's furloughed.
Yeah. A bunch of my friends just got furloughed today. And
some of them were a couple weeks ago. A couple of my friends, this week got furloughed. Like there's just nothing to do press for.
Nope. There's nothing. Then what's also funny is on the other side, not funny, but like my friends that like, you know, actors, we're out of work all the time, right? Like, you know, you go through highs and lows. So like some people have been like, well, this is just a typical Wednesday for me. I've been out of work for a year. So they're like trying to make light of it. And I was like, well, I've been used to this for a while. But it just all sucks.
Well, there's some people who are actually like not stranded, but I guess stuck in a good way in cast housing. So like
I have a friend like who's in Hartford. He was doing this is so sad. My friend who is Dr. Dillerman on Broadway. And then we did it in LA together. I love him, Chad. He's amazing. He was doing a one man show in Hartford, a one man show. And now he's stuck in housing by himself because he was doing a one man play. He doesn't even like, there's not even other people, humans he could talk to. So it's been like a month of him being by himself in a tiny cast house.
Oh, God.
Well, at least he can still keep rehearsing, though.
True. Right? He's going to be so ready.
He gets on Zoom every night and runs his lines with himself.
He's going to be so brilliant.
Oh, my goodness.
This might be a real opportunity for him, really, to get some good practice in.
I'm just get your tickets now because clearly he's going to be genius.
Exactly. We're about to see the birth of something great.
Okay, Jessica Rush with her husband's out in at La Jolla because I think he's in
Fly.
In Fly, yeah. Yeah, so Eric. Eric, she went out with Eric and their daughter, and like so they're the whole family's out there in tiny cast housing.
Yeah.
So they're how long is that going to last, right?
But at least can't pay for them forever. Nice California weather.
I know, right? I know, but they don't want to come back to New York. They can't come back. Some people have like can't come back because it's like a worse quarantine out here and whatnot. But it's everyone's in such this unique position, and you know, it's just weird for me. I felt kind of silly the first time I went out with a mask on, and now I feel weird not having it on.
Oh yeah.
No.
I know. I went to the grocery store today and I have a crazy mask that makes me look like Bane from Batman.
Well, can you put it up here right now?
It's downstairs. It's called the humidifier. You can totally Google it. I've had it for a while now. It's like literally, it's hilarious looking. And I've been wearing masks for years because I'll like do concerts like, you know, over in Japan or whatever. And I can't get sick, you know, because if I get sick, then I flew all the way there and I can't sing. And then they hate me. So I've been wearing masks and getting looked at crazily for years. So now it's going to be the only silver lining is that we're all going to, you know, wear masks and not look at each other crazily.
I just went to the humidifier website and it says, we are temporarily out of stock in South Africa and USA. This is a personal humidifier that may help with preventing infection, but it's not an antiviral device.
It is not. But it's like suction to your face. It's really good. And I flew with it the 7 hours back from LA. I was in LA and I put it on when I left my apartment, and I didn't take it off until I got to my apartment in New York, and I'm Corona free. So just right, saying, so let me get a flyer. Holla.
Oh my goodness. Now, one last thing I'll just ask about Broadway comeback. So basically at the end of the day, you think a show like Wicked is big enough that no matter what happens, it'll be able to sustain, regard, you know, the hesitancy of an audience to come back into that theater?
I think so. I mean, Wicked is Universal's number one money-making project ever. Out of every movie, Wicked makes Universal more than anything. So Wicked does well, and I think will come back. And I think everything will come back. It'll just take a longer time than we anticipated. And I think people are going to be scared at first. We're all going to be like agoraphobic, right? Like we're all going to like not want to leave our houses at first, but slowly, little by little, I think we'll all be able to be integrated and not want to, you know, run around each other and not look at each other or breathe each other's air like we do now.
Right.
It's the wide berth turns around each other.
The theater industry, I mean, all of the casts and everything are, everyone's very huggy and touchy, and true. Like it's jobs to be paid to like kiss and hug and be on top of each other, and this is, it's going to be hard. Like
it really is.
What if social distancing, you have to go and restage your whole show? So it's did you see that what was it, when before Saturday Night Live started doing the sketches from home, which I didn't enjoy, by the way.
Tell us how you really feel. No, what did you really think about that?
Alan is brutally honest about everything, and we love it.
What did you think about it? Was there any that you thought worked?
Weekend update. Weekend update.
Okay.
I liked Weekend update.
Agreed.
And we'll end there.
And you didn't like Kate McKinnon's I really like her, but that didn't work for me.
Yeah, like I love Kate too. She's a friend of mine. I enjoyed it. I thought it was good for what you can do with that, but it's hard to be funny by yourself without a crew, without a laugh track, because laughter is contagious.
Totally.
So, you know, I think it would be funny even if they went old school and did like the old sitcom laugh track.
Yeah.
So they put in some sort of thing, because it was interesting to me when the announcer did the opening credits. They're like, it's Saturday Night Live, you know. So he's doing that live, and then they had the applause. They pre-recorded applause, and I was thinking, oh wait, is there actually an audience of something? And you know why? Now that I've said that, I think why Weekend Update really worked was because that they had some of their friends just, you know, not on camera, but they had their friends on Zoom watching, and you heard them laugh, and I was laughing with them too. I thought that was actually a really good idea.
Yeah. Well, why aren't they listening to you? Do they need to call? They need to call you. And
listen, I blocked Lauren. He texts me all the time.
And you're like, stop. I can't fix everything for you. Okay.
Like, Lauren, enough. I can't. You got to run this on your own now, Lauren. You're a big boy.
That's why Lauren is always sitting behind home plate with Jimmy Fallon at Yankee Stadium, because Alan has blocked all of his texts and refuses to go and sit with him to watch a Yankee game. Right behind home plate.
No, it's like, I can't.
Yeah, I can't do that. Can't do it. Lauren, you and Fallon. Listen, you and Fallon are, you're just out of my league. Anywho, sorry, I hijacked your podcast, Al. Go ahead.
No, I love this. Kat, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on?
What are you doing over there?
Oh, I was just thinking about all this again. Sorry, yeah, I got a little distracted. Jackie, I'm not sure. Let me just ask, like, are you an Aroldis Chapman fan like I am?
I like Geraldo Rivera. Remember him?
Yeah, they're not the same guy.
I'm kidding, it's a joke. I'm sure if you showed me a picture, I would know who he was.
This is disappointing.
I'm sorry. I gotta be honest with you. I know. And my dad's going to be very embarrassed for me.
Well, you know, I just wanted to mention our fan base really enjoys sort of the comparison that we've created, which is between Araldis and Elphaba the Witch.
Yes.
Although instead of defying gravity, we like to say that he defies velocity.
I like that.
And just to educate you a little bit about that, it holds the record for fastest fastball.
Which is what? At what?
105.1 miles per hour. Can you believe it? And he did it twice. Oh, come on. No one's ever done it faster. What are you talking
about?
I mean,
I think I've done it, but that's when I was younger. And, you know, softball.
See, we really could have used you in the baseball world.
Yeah.
And, you know, like we find with so many of the Broadway performers that we interview, a lot of them had to put down their baseball career.
We did.
In order to pursue Broadway. But, you know, everyone has to make choices like that in their life. I understand.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, I mean, our fan base really seems to love some of the crossover content that we put out there between Araldis and Broadway. They really like when we put him in green, you know, Elphaba, Shrek, the Grinch.
Oh, yeah.
All of your classic green characters, really, they seem to really enjoy that. You know, speaking of Instagram, because that's where we publish these, I actually noticed, it seemed a few years ago, you were out in the field at the Rogers Center in Toronto. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
So what you got to tell us a story behind that. That's pretty cool.
I had a friend who is a motivational speaker in Toronto, and he was like, hey, do you want to, on your day off, come see the game. And
it's a show.
And we, you know, come and like get on, come on the field, practice, meet some of the players. And I was like, yes, I do. And then he also, I was there again, he got me tickets to the Raptors when the Raptors were in the playoffs. I switched teams. I've switched sports.
No, that's so, okay. Yeah, we can speak. I mean, obviously, you're just a huge Toronto sports fan. I can tell.
I love Toronto sports. I love going to sporting events more than anything. I'm not like somebody who's like, oh, I have a team. I just like love live sporting events, sitting with a beer and a hot dog and getting to like baseball. I love tennis. The US Open's one of my favorite things ever. The only sport I don't like that I get in trouble for is football. So, because it represents cold weather to me, like that's when it's going to get cold and be stuck inside. So I don't like football, but everything else I'm a big fan of.
You think they should allow the audience to eat hot dogs on Broadway?
Absolutely. Yes.
I think that would really enhance a lot of the shows.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. You know,
they should serve hot dogs. Maybe they could have the hot dog stand guy going in the aisles during the show.
It only distracts a little bit,
but it's worth it for the hot dogs, you know?
It is, because then people are full, they're feeling good, you know?
Get the real ballpark feel, you know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, totally. You know, actually, the first time I went to a football game, I was singing the national anthem at the Jets. And I met the commissioner of the football.
Roger Goodell.
Thank you, Roger Goodell.
Wow, cool.
And my dad made friends
with him.
And my dad did lobby to get me to sing the national anthem for the Super Bowl. It didn't happen, but you know, fingers crossed next year.
Yeah, they had Dina do it because
come on.
I think, you know, I was one of the biggest diehard sports fans out there in the Broadway community and just with the amazing voice you have, it makes total sense that you should be the next one in line.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. It does. It just makes sense, doesn't it? Forget exactly. Like, you know, Beyonce. We've been there, done that. Let's get
I mean,
there,
exactly. You know? I mean, plus, you know, I don't think she's really that into it anyway, but,
Yeah, she doesn't want to do it.
You know, I think you definitely deserve it more.
I do too. Thank you so much.
Jackie, how's your singing voice, you know, during this quarantine?
You know, that's a really, I'm impressed that you asked that. My singing voice got some dust on it. Let's be honest. I actually had to do a self-tape for a musical about 2 weeks ago. And I had to it up because she was not ready.
Right.
Because it's a muscle and, you know, they atrophy when you don't use them.
You got to keep working out in the off season.
You really do.
That's a big, Everyone knows that.
Everyone knows. Yeah. And normally I go to my voice teacher, you know, once to twice a week, and I haven't been going at all. So I need to get my butt in gear. But I have been doing P90X. So
nice.
Remember P90X? Am I aging myself? Am I dating myself really
bad? Oh, no. We all know P90X. Great. I think our oldest Chapman actually uses P90X to bulk up in the off season.
Some good stuff. I did it today outside.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, Jackie, you know, I know you have aspirations of maybe singing the anthem over at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But are you're familiar with the seventh inning stretch in baseball, right?
Of course I am. Yes.
Well, you know, I think that at this point in the interview, we're kind of like at that point in, you know, at that point of the game, if you want to put it that way.
If you will, yes.
Chris, what do we usually do during the seventh inning stretch, you know, here on Break a Bat?
Go get a hot dog?
We usually do a trivia game, but I'm not sure, Al, is that what you want to do today?
No, because everything is out of whack, like I said. So I know that you and Alan came up with a new idea, and I'm very much for it.
No.
That's right. Alan and I put our heads together on this one, although I got to give most of the credit to Alan.
I don't know if I want to take credit for this.
Well, you're getting it anyway, Alan. We'd like to sing a little bit of a verse with you.
Okay.
One at a time, actually, taking turns.
Okay.
So I guess what we'll do is I myself, Alan, Al, and you will each sing a line, and then we'll rotate and sing the next line.
Okay. And how do we know who goes first? Do we have an order? I mean, like, do we have an order?
That's a good. Al, like, I think like Al, one, maybe two, you three, can just point, four. Or your video is a little.
My video is.
I'll point to you when it's.
You point to me when it's my time.
Yeah. Perfect.
Thanks for taking the reins, Alan. Classic Alan Seals move right there.
Yep. So instead of singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game," we are going to sing one of the songs that I'm sure you will know.
Oh God, I hope so. The Beach Boys. Which one?
It's a surprise. You're going to have to pick up on your cue. And I think Chris is supposed to.
You might have to. I'm a little bit tone deaf myself, but I'm going to try and lead it off here. Okay, everyone. Here we go. What is this feeling so sudden and new?
Is this me? Oh, God, I don't know. Laid eyes on you.
My pulse is rushing.
Is it me?
That's you.
Oh no, my pulse is rushing. I don't know it. My something something.
My head is reeling.
My head is reeling.
My face is flushing.
What is this feeling?
Fervid as a flame. Does it have a name? Here we go.
Yes.
Loathing. Unadulterated loathing. For your face. Oops.
Oh, she's running with it. No, let her go.
Go.
I got to be Glinda. That was the only time I've ever said for your face. She's at me.
Oh,
I
had to take it.
I had to own that.
For listeners at home, this is really hard to do over the internet.
It really is. We're doing okay though. We're you know, we're We love to experiment on this show, by the way.
I feel good about it.
I'll pick it up. For your face, your voice,
your clothing.
Let's just say
I love it all.
Wow. All right.
Nice. We made it all the way through a verse. That's pretty cool.
That was
good job, everybody.
It goes to I don't remember it, obviously, very well. It's been
That's okay. I mean, everyone understands. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Actually, I had to sing something from Wicked the other day and couldn't remember the words, and I felt really, really bad for myself.
You've got tons of other stuff to remember, I'm sure. So
yeah. Totally. Yeah. So much. Like brushing my teeth.
And all the Aroldis Chapman stats you probably have racked up.
105.1, twice.
There you go. A new one. That probably just pushed out some of the other memory space for some of the Wicked lyrics learned that new fact. So, yeah.
I can't wait to tell my dad. He's going to be so proud.
You're so synonymous with a great role like that. Do you ever find yourself singing those songs like when you're in the shower or like even when you're running, like you throw that onto the iPhone on your Spotify playlist ever?
No, I'm truly such a weirdo. I think because I've played roles that are like so vocally challenging and you sing like eight, you know, I'm so used to singing a million songs every day that I don't ever sing when I'm not in a show. I never sing. It's kind of weird. Everybody finds it very strange. But if I'm in a show, I don't sing. And when I'm in a show, I don't sing.
No, that's
and I feel very uncomfortable singing unless I'm like getting paid.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. You're a professional. That's right. No, I don't think Aroldis Chapman strikes people out for free.
Right. He's like, yeah. Show me the money and then I'm
there you go.
And then I'll give you the goods.
Yep. Yep.
Good Jerry Maguire reference right there, by the way. Thank that's sports. You. That's sports and the arts.
Show me the money. Yeah, totally.
How about going up on the lift for Defying Gravity? Do you have any funny stories or crazy stories or terrifying stories about that?
Yeah, so many things. It's actually, everybody thinks it's super scary, and I am afraid of heights, but you don't know how high you are because all the lights are in your eyes. So the only time you realize how truly high you are is once the curtain goes down and they're lowering you, and then you realize how high you are, and that's kind of scary. The really scary thing is when that lift doesn't work, and you have to sing Defying Gravity like an a-hole, not flying, and they call it Plan B, and it's the worst thing ever. And the funny thing is, so I did the show for a year on tour, and I'd never had they call it a no-fly show. And so I didn't know what Plan B was. So then when I went to Broadway the first time, it was about halfway through my run. So what you do is it's actually a lot. While you're saying goodbye to Glinda, you're like, bye, the guards are coming. I'm going to fly out of here. You turn around and you have this cape and you have a broom and you have your book bag and you have to do this like turn to get into this very tiny, like cherry picker thing and get your cape over the apparatus in the back so that, you know, it covers it so you don't see it. And then you also like push with your back this little tiny lever that closes the arms and tells the computer that you're safe and they can go. And so you start, you know, going forward and then you fly up. And so it was that point where I was clipped in and I should be going forward while I'm like, it's not her. She's not the one, you know, it's me. It's me. Right. And I'm not going anywhere. I'm still there. It's not moving. And I'm like, oh God, what's happening? And I feel in the dark, somebody tapped me on the shoulder and is like, Plan B. Plan B. And I'm like, what the fuck is Plan B mean? I don't know what's going on. And then I realized that you have to unclip yourself while you're singing, you know, like it's way up high, like singing, and you're unclipping yourself and you have to walk forward. And then everybody else from the wings comes down and normally they're like looking up at you going like, look at her, she's wicked and pointing up at you. Well, Plan B is that they all lay down at your feet. That's right. Fully lay down. So it looks like you're higher than you are. They have a whole different like lighting structure that actually makes it look like you're kind of flying, but you're just a jerk talking about how you're flying in front of 2,000 people that you just ruined their Broadway experience, even though it's not your fault. And then the conductor is like a foot away from you, at just laughing at you because it's so uncomfortable. And then everybody's laughing at you on stage, you know, laying at your feet, like, look at, and you just feel like the biggest jerk in the world. And I had 5 no fly shows on Broadway that first time and it sucked and I hated it.
But that's an amazing story though. I never would have thought of all the little details that go into a show like that. And the way you got to think on your feet there, that's pretty cool.
Oh, but it's just so bad. Like you're literally singing an entire 11 o'clock number about how you're flying high, defying gravity, standing center stage. Yeah. Like a jerk. Like it's mortifying. And you can't help but then like oversing because you're like, I'll show you that. I'll give you a good time. And then you blow out your voice. And then the whole second act, you're just struggling because you like blew it out with your no fly show. Anyways. So
honestly, I'm trying to think of a baseball analogy, but that's just such a unique situation. I one's not coming to mind, you know, that almost never happens for me, but wow. Yeah.
It's like when you're like trying to go steal home. And then you get stuck in like a pickle, maybe.
And there you go. A rundown. And you got to get out of it. And you still got to score.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
I like that.
It sounds like you're 5 for 5, though. That's pretty good. That's like, you know, you must be a real wizard out there on the base paths.
Thank you.
Or wit, I should say.
I met the wizard. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. Is there one role on Broadway existing or from the past that you think could top that experience of playing Elphaba?
No, for me, the only thing that could top it is something written specifically for me. That's that epic. That would top it because it would be written exactly for me and my voice and my skill set. And I'd be creating it for the first time. And the reason why, you know, you go to stage left on that word is because I decided that's where I wanted to move, you know, and not because somebody else had created it and you have to justify it now because that's how it was, you know? So for me, that would be the only thing that could top it.
You know, Chris go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it sounds like you're saying I should start working on my baseball musical. That's what
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Perfect. All right, I'm going to get right on it. I've been meaning to. This is the motivation I needed. Thank you.
Yeah, and you clearly have the time.
Yes.
Sadly. Yes.
I know we should stop putting so much effort into these episodes and actually get our musical off the ground, Chris. Thank and now you. That we have Jackie, who's sound as Sarah in it. So that's perfect.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, yeah, count it. I mean, we're going to count on it. And let's see, whenever Broadway opens, you might have to look out for the Break a Bat musical.
Oh, right? Yeah, it's going
to
be huge.
Listen, coming from podcast world, it's a lot cheaper and easier just to write a radio play.
That's true.
Into a musical.
Smart. And you don't have to put on makeup. You can just wear a hat and call it a day.
A musical radio play. I like it.
Yeah.
They're doing that now here on our Broadway podcast network, Chris. That's a thing.
Oh, really?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You were telling me. I'll remember. Yeah.
Why is my phone rung?
And we've got Jackie Burns down to star in ours, all right? We're going to have you sign an exclusivity deal at the end of this interview.
Done.
And you'll get to star in Break About the Musical.
Yeah, it'll probably...
Done.
You might be able to guess that it'll probably heavily involve Araldus Chapman.
I hope so.
Potentially could be just about his life, but we'll have to work that out after this.
God,
okay,
he's so cool.
Pop quiz, hot shot. Who would you cast as Araldus Chapman in the Break a Bat musical?
Me?
Myself.
Oh, no.
No, Chris.
Obviously myself.
I am a citizen, think.
Wait, who would play his translator?
I guess that would be you, Al. I can be Chapman and you can be Marlon. Although, you know, Jackie, you could probably pull off the role too. I mean, we've got a lot of talent on this show here.
I'm thinking like Christian Borle. Christian Borle's got to bring something to a character that has no lines in English.
Fair point.
Now, speaking of Araldus Chapman, his, you know, his prime real estate is the bottom of the 9th inning. And this is usually our 7th inning stretch, but this is your chance for your team, Jackie, to come away with a win.
Okay.
You're in the batter's box. The game's on the line. we're going to ask you some trivia questions, half baseball, half Broadway.
Oh, God. Okay.
And you get enough of them right, you'll actually win a prize and join what we call the winner circle.
Oh, God. This sounds like a test, and I feel like I'm going to lose. Just going to set the bar low for myself.
I told you there's more tests coming.
Yep.
So
super anxious.
Here it is.
Do I get to like phone a friend? Or...
No.
Call in the other room and ask your boyfriend.
Okay, yeah. I feel like he won't know either.
Just don't let us catch you, because this test will be proctored and scored. Anyway.
Okay, I'm ready. Do it.
Okay, sure. I guess I'll kick it off then.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
Aroldis Chapman has made the All-Star Game a remarkable 6 times in just 10 major league seasons.
Yeah.
In the 2015 All-Star Game, what did legendary Fox announcer Joe Buck suggest that Chapman's catcher, Yasmani Grandal, was thinking as Chapman struck out the side with multiple pitches of over 100 miles per hour? Was it A, he throws so fast, B, he's a monster, C, he could sail around the world if he wanted to, or D, get me out of here? And before you say anything, Alan, I know you know the answer. Don't give it away, please. So what was Grandal thinking? Again, was it he throws so fast, he's a monster, he could sail around the world if he wanted to, or get me out of here?
I would say get me out of here, because I feel like his hand would hurt.
Ding, ding, ding!
You nailed that. I'm so impressed. Yes. You know, and you, oh, man. Wow, we actually, I thought that was a tough one, and you just totally, you got me. You just totally knocked it out of the park.
Yes. I feel so good.
Sat on the fastball, knocked it right out of the park. Great job.
Even a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
Alan, no. That was pure skill. She even had the exact reason.
That was logic. That was you reasoned your way to victory.
I did, yes.
Very good. Very good.
Jackie, you were in the Broadway revival cast of Hair. In the movie adaptation, the role of Wolf was played by a guitarist from which legendary rock band? Was it Pink Floyd, Chicago, the Eagles, or the Beach Boys?
I'm going to go with the Beach Boys.
The answer is Chicago.
Well, I just thought like we were going to do a full circle with the Beach Boys action.
It looked like it, didn't it? But
it really did.
Did not.
You know? I know who choreographed it.
You know, Jackie, we got to throw some curveballs here at you. You know, might throw
that's
a hint
true.
Here and
we
there.
Can't just only give you fastballs. That's right, Al.
Yeah.
That's why we changed the name of the segment from Fastball Derby to Bottom of the Ninth.
I like it. Do you know who choreographed the Hair movie?
Casey Nicola? No.
Twyla Tharp.
Oh, okay. Moving Out. That's one of my favorites. One of the other few shows I've seen twice. She choreographed Moving Out with Billy Joel.
Yes. My ex-husband was the lead, John Celia.
I swear to God, I did not know that, but I love Michael Cavanaugh, and he's a big Indians fan.
Oh, he has a great voice. He can sing.
This is going to test a little bit of your knowledge from earlier in the episode.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Which of the following performers holds the major league record for fastest fastball? Is it A, Lin-Manuel Miranda? B, Neil Patrick Harris? C, Laura Bell Bundy? Or D, Aroldis Chapman?
I'm going to go with D.
Great job. I don't know how you got two of my questions in a row.
I don't know how I didn't either.
Yeah, that was... you're really talented, I got to say. You're very good at this.
I should have said Laura Bell Bundy, but I didn't.
Well, there is a prize at stake. So you gotta, if you know the answer, you gotta say it. Come on. Although, yeah, Laura Bell Bundy, if I didn't know, that probably would have been my second pick.
Right?
Probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's got a fast heater. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the folks at home, that might be a little hint at next week's guest, but now I think it's Alan's question.
All right. So within the stories
the storied Wicked franchise that you're obviously a huge part of, there's a great lineage of actors who have taken on the role of Fiero.
Ooh.
Which of the following actors is not in that Fiero lineage? Tay Diggs, Derek Klena, Aaron Tveit, or Alex Brightman?
Oh, I was, sorry, Alex Brightman. But he was in Wicked as Bach.
Yes.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
And right. I saw Tay Diggs as Fiero the very first time I saw Wicked. He was Fiero.
All right, so you're Chris. 3 for 4. That's a 750 batting average. That's very good.
So
I'm sorry, do we have 5 questions already? I may have lost count here.
I think
I added one. I added one at the very bottom.
I love it.
Okay, so 3 for 4. You're on a good pace here. Okay. We've got 3 more.
Oh God. Right? Okay. Yes.
Anyway, it's again my turn. So you might guess what the topic is, but maybe not. You know, we'll see. This could be a curveball. Anyway, in which 2 months did Aroldis Chapman win the American League Reliever of the Month award in 2019? Was it January and February, January and April, May and August, or December and July?
I'm going to go May and August.
How'd you guess?
I'm not an idiot.
You're a Chapman savant. I got to say, you might be more knowledgeable about Chapman than I am, honestly. I mean, this is impressive. This really is.
Thank you so much. I'm so impressed.
Anyway, you've passed all of my baseball-related tests here. So we'll turn it back over to Alan and Al now after that dramatic break.
All right. So my last question is a Wicked question for you.
Okay.
Where are the Wizards from? What do they call all sorts of things that aren't true?
Wait, what?
Where the Wizard is from,
yeah.
What do they call all sorts of things that are not true?
Jackie, if this is a hint, you were in the song where this lyric and fact comes up.
What the?
Can finish the fuck and the F-bomb. Go ahead.
Yeah, what the? Say it again. I feel like this is going to be deceivingly easy, and I'm just making it very hard right now in my head.
Okay, so
the wizard is where he's from.
Where are the wizards from? What do they call all sorts of things that aren't true?
I don't know.
History.
Oh, duh! God! That's so embarrassing.
Even I knew that one.
That's because, you know what? That is the hardest part of the show for me. To stay present in that song.
Why? You're just in the zone. You just black out and you're totally in character. Is that how it goes for you?
No, you just, there's nothing. Listening is the hardest thing there is as an actor. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So just to listen for 3 minutes and not think about what you're going to eat when you go home and that mac and cheese that you're going to eat and stay present is very hard.
I get it. Yeah. I mean, as a professional, you know, you're
getting paid
on what you got to deliver and that's it. Yeah. I gotcha.
Such time like such an asshole. No, I just couldn't remember that. I don't know why. Yeah, history. That's a funny part of the show. I'm embarrassed. Sorry.
You really would make a good Chapman, by the way. You really would. He comes in and just delivers what he needs to do. Those fastballs. One inning every game. You know, just comes in, lights up the crowd. He's the star, obviously, you know, but he just does what he needs to do and he's consistent and he gets paid the big bucks for it. So
yeah, I mean, I'm very consistent.
We totally see that parallel here and really appreciate the what it means to be a true professional on this show. So
thank you.
Anyway.
And I've got one final question for you. Alan actually came up with this one.
Okay.
We mentioned earlier that Aroldis Chapman, we might have mentioned it a few times, actually, that he holds the record for fastest pitch at 105 miles per hour. For our quarantined listeners who use the metric system, how fast is that in kilometers per hour?
Wait. Okay, wait. Oh, okay. All right. Yes.
We'll give you options.
Oh, good. Yeah. I was like, I can't convert that. Okay, great.
Is it 156 kph, 167 kph, or 189 kph?
One more, say it one more time.
Okay, so let's think of 105 miles.
You can use
miles.
A calculator if you like.
Can I?
Sure.
No, that's cheating. I have to try and do it again. No.
Will it help?
I'm honestly trying to picture my dashboard and like.
Oh, wow. You that's know an interesting mean? Strategy. I like that.
Because it has like 40, 20, you know, whatever. And now I'm trying to think what it is.
We okay. told you this might be like the SAT, and we're making good on that. So.
We did.
Okay. Al, why don't you read it off one more time?
So 105.1, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is either 159, is that what you said?
It's either 156 kph, 167, or 189.
I'm gonna guess, and I'm gonna call a friend. Okay. Well, first I'm gonna call a friend.
Okay.
Hey, do you know what the answer is? Yeah.
She's calling Amanda Jane Cooper, I think, for the folks at home.
No, I'm going to go with B.
Ding, ding, ding. Welcome to the winner's circle, Jackie Burns. That is correct.
Yes. You got it.
Oh, my God.
That was really good.
See how I created that suspense like I didn't know when I clearly did?
That's a testament to your acting skills. She is very fitting of playing Aroldis Chapman for that reason. And let me just show Jackie her prize here send her off with. Hang on. All right, Jackie, this is some pretty official memorabilia here in the Broadway world right now. And we don't give it out to that many people, only the winners.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited.
This is hopefully that my fuzzy video feed will not blur it. But this is your official Chapman on Broadway long sleeve T-shirt.
Yes, I love it.
You have his number that
54.
Is soon going to. Yep. That's right. He does wear 54.
We've got our logo on the back, too.
Oh, fancy.
Break a bat. There you go.
Sexy.
Welcome to the winner's circle, Jackie.
Thank you.
And you were finally. You were so awesome on this.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. This is fun. I learned so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for coming on. Thanks for being such a great support with us. And we really had a lot of fun.
I had a great time. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome. And Jackie, there's one last question that we use to wrap every show. It's usually at the end of Fastball Derby, but everything is so out of sync tonight. You know, I thought that we could keep one thing consistent. What's the best piece of advice anyone ever gave you, and what was it?
Just to be yourself. Don't compare yourself to anybody else, because there's only one you, and only you can be you. So just be you.
Yeah. Awesome. You know, we've heard that from a few of our guests too. I think it's definitely a piece of wisdom that mm-hmm. a lot of great performers have learned over the years. So thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Yay.
Jackie, can't thank you enough again for joining us on Break a Bat. This was awesome. Alan and Chris, you were fantastic as side men as always.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, I had a great time. Thanks again, Al.
All right, that'll close out the ball game here on Break a Bat. This is Al Malafronte signing off from the Broadway Podcast Network. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.